As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
One of Down to Dunk. You can find us on The Athletic and anywhere else you subscribe to your podcast. Go to theathletic.com/down to dunk and get The Athletic for $3.99 a month. I am Luke, joined this morning by Andrew.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool.
Slam through.
Taylor.
Now, what did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet? Supplies! Now I know y'all be loving it right here. L-I-M-P. Biscuit is right here. People in the house put their hands in the air. Because if you don't care, then we slam through.
And Jay.
It's Jay.
That's good.
That's a good come back-to-back combo between the joke and the song. It's
that was
pretty
good.
Perfect.
I'm glad I could pick it up from last week. The last couple weeks have been kind of... I've been slacking, and I just want you guys to know I recognize that.
You've completely
and I'm trying to be better.
Redeemed yourself.
Luke, that's what owning your own behavior feels like, Luke.
What does that mean?
It's a statement. It's just a general statement.
L-Man wouldn't know anything about that, so don't worry about that.
Just to provide some context, before the podcast, L-Man started digging himself a pretty deep hole.
He's deep. He is 6 feet.
So if you feel some
aggression
toward him in this podcast, that is real.
It's true. So the second round is almost set. Could be completely set tonight, but it won't be because the Clippers are moving on. The Clippers are going to the finals.
No, I just am intrigued to see, how do you think the Clippers and the Jazz match up? Like, if you were going to look at that, evaluate that as the inevitable next round matchup.
It's inevitable.
I don't know. I think that the...
are you doing a river?
I think
you've been doing this.
I think the Jazz...
This is a jinx,
I think the Jazz
yes.
give the Clippers some problems. Like, I don't know.
They do. They're good. They're very good. The Clippers can't do against the Jazz what they've been able to do against the Mavericks. That's attack the rim.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So...
And
I actually might favor the Jazz in real life if we're operating outside of my jinx. I might favor the Jazz in that series just because they have the offensive firepower. You know, they're not like the Mavericks are really good because of Luka. The Jazz are good because of Mitchell, Gobert, Conley. Conley's health is a big deal because that Conley Gobert pick and roll has been something they've leaned on a lot. So Conley's healthy. I would probably favor Utah.
No, that's a hamstring, right? Same hamstring problem he was having in the regular season.
Yeah, those are just really tough issues. Like muscle issues are really tough, especially in the playoffs. Most of those guys don't play, and if they do play, they don't play well.
Which thank goodness that they're done with this series.
Yeah,
I mean it's kind of perfectly timed. It's actually kind of the opposite of the Embiid injury over in the Eastern Conference,
where
if I was the Wizards, I probably would have thrown game five or whatever game it was that they just played and be like, hey, let's get one more, you know, few day rest for Embiid, man. That's a
That is an Eastern Conference altering injury. And I don't know how severe it is. They're acting as if he can treat it without any sort of surgery.
So people within the Sixers have said that he could have played in that last game had it been like a game seven. So they act like it's not a big deal. Well, they say it's not about, because he's had a small tear in his meniscus before. It's not about the it's not about that it is a small tear. It's where it is. Mm. So apparently the location of the tear isn't as concerning to them. I don't know what that means.
They're doctors. We're not.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, though, and we haven't discussed it yet, but I think it's maybe the best storyline of the first round. I mean, the Phoenix Suns.
Phoenix, yeah.
Just won the series 4-2 over the Lakers.
Yeah, the Dallas Clippers series has been really, really, really fun. But yes, feel-good story, it's got to be Phoenix. And you know what's weird? Both teams from the finals out in the first round this year. Like, pretty kind of easily.
Somebody actually has a Twitter question about that. So this is from at EasyB300 underscore. And he says, teams that were in the conference finals last year are 6-13 so far in this year's playoffs. Fatigue, injuries from short offseason, question mark. Surprise, this hasn't been a bigger talking point. I think it's, I would say that it absolutely is a part of it. Mm-hmm. I think the Heat would be the one that I would not attribute necessarily to that.
Yeah.
I think
they
ran into an angry team in the Bucks that really wanted to prove a point. And then they also
And their good players didn't play well.
Jimmy was bad. They didn't have Jay Crowder.
Jimmy was bad. Bam was bad. Hero was bad. Those were the three guys that took them to the finals last year.
Which you can attribute that to the bubble, as far as their play in the bubble was. And not, I wouldn't say this about Jimmy and Bam, but definitely Hero. I think that there are layers to this, but I do think that the short timeline between the end of the season and the beginning of the season. But the thing I would say about the Lakers, like, Anthony Davis and LeBron missed gigantic parts of this season. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they had, over the course of what they actually had and during the regular season, they had roughly what would have been, you know, close to an off season.
Yeah.
The issue is, and I mentioned this in the text thread last night, and, you know, Taylor and I got a miscommunication, but Anthony Davis, this is the Anthony Davis that we kind of expected to see in LA. Like, injury prone.
Yeah.
Every year he was in New Orleans, minus maybe one, he had injury problems for long amounts of time. And I just kind of brought up the question, I wonder if having the time off between the regular season and then in the bubble actually made it to where it may have been the only season where Anthony Davis could have stayed healthy for the entire playoff run.
Yeah. I mean, he tried to play. He shouldn't have touched the court last night. I mean, that was very apparent. Mm. And if you're the Lakers, I mean, LeBron was not right either. And then basically none of your role players showed up. I mean, zero, which is a big problem. Like, Alex Caruso is probably the best role player for them.
And that's a problem
in this first round. Mm-hmm. And he should be your seventh or eighth guy. And so it's cool to see Phoenix move on. It's not as cool in this way, where like the Lakers are depleted. They just get steamrolled. Like, that to me is not as fun. I would have loved to see like a good like six game series. This is not a good six game series. This series sucked.
Yeah, it did suck.
Well, and I think part of it is also like on the Phoenix side of it is they had three games basically without a legitimate Chris Paul.
Right.
Like, that shoulder was bothering him pretty clearly in the after he injured in the first game. And so it's both sides of it. It wasn't the fullest. Now, what I will say, at least to celebrate a little bit, is you did get to see Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Just, and you don't know with these guys. It's the same conversation that people are having about some of these other teams that are playing their first time in the playoffs, or, you know, first time this guy's playing these big minutes, Ja Morant, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you just watch Devin Booker and it's like, he was not afraid at all of the big stage and actually thrived.
And Ayton, which was a bigger surprise to me.
Ayton was great. Played good defense on Anthony Davis when he was playing against him. Here's what I'll say is there were out of the, what are you, eight different series that started this playoff run, I think if you rank them as far as what's been the most enjoyable, Utah-Memphis is the one I probably watched the least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you looked at Denver-Portland, even though it still ended up being a six-game series, that was a fantastic series.
God, last night was just a straight shootout too.
The Hawks and the Knicks, even though it was a fight, it was a gentleman's sweep.
It was fun though.
So much fun.
Great. Trae Young was so good.
So good. And so
the bow.
And, well, you heard Draymond Green say that at least now the world knows that Trae Young is one of the best trash talkers or one of the biggest trash talkers in the league.
The bow he took after, and what he said in the post-game press conference when he was like, yeah, I know they do that on Broadway, so I thought I'd do it since I just put on a show. I was just like that. I was like, this fan base will hate him forever.
But that's cool.
Exactly, man.
It's awesome.
Every time the Hawks play the Knicks, it became something.
Yes, that's so... It's
if the Knicks
so
hate you, you have to be like special for the Knicks to hate you like that. Because you had to kill them yourself.
That's why he basically did. That's why I want the Knicks to be just good all the time.
I know.
They need to be in the playoffs
the NBA
every
is better
year.
When the Knicks are good.
Yes.
Because their fans are
it's
insane.
Just fun. Yeah, they are actually insane. And the other series I didn't really care. I didn't watch... I mean, I bet I watched 5 minutes of it was the Brooklyn Boston series, which is
everybody right. you just knew it was going to happen, similar to Utah Memphis.
And apparently the entire front office knew what was going to happen too. Slight change over with their entire organization.
So that is interesting that like now it provides a little bit of context. Do you think Brad Stevens knew that this might be a thing coming up, and that's why he turned down the Indiana job?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. My guess is yes, because all the stuff with Ainge has been out there for a while.
Yeah,
that he was going to step down, and it had happened. The change happened so quickly. Like Boston didn't just make the move with Ainge, or Ainge make his move, and then like, well, what do we do? Brad, do you want it? I mean,
yeah,
this
it was
has been
bang bang.
Yeah, this has been something that's been going on for a long time. So, you know, I wondered about Presti, you know, whenever just the first report came out, you know, that he was for sure stepping down. It's like, okay, well, what do they do now? I mean, they probably called and obviously it didn't get anywhere, but you have to think that, you know, that's a good opportunity for somebody and probably for Sam. I mean, eventually Sam may move on and that would be a team that you could imagine that he would actually go to. So that was kind of, I don't know, you didn't really even get the time to think about it all that much though, because the reports came so fast. So, but yeah, I think that this has been obviously it's been in the works for a long time behind the scenes with Brad. But
I love how quickly after like a playoff loss first round, it's like the knives come out and everyone's just like,
That was set. That was ready to go.
Yeah, it had to have been number one. Number two is I wonder if any of that, and this is totally just speculation, has nothing to do with reality probably, but if this is part of the conversation for the last 2 months, like Danny Ainge is at least starting the conversation with Brad Stevens, like, hey, man, I think this is the end of my time here. And, you know, and then Brad saying, you know, like, I'd like to put my name in the hat for some front office opportunities because... And then one of the reports came out that Brad Stevens was exhausted from coaching. Like the bubble just kind of exhausted him. I wonder if part of that conversation could have bled into the team at all. Like if you're coaching and or running a team with 1 foot out the door, like how, I don't know. I just wonder if that would have bled into whether or not Brad may have said, I'm giving the same amount of effort that I've always given, but I just think it's hard to be where you are if you're thinking about what's next.
Yeah, like emotionally, like mentally actually being there 100%.
And in a season that is also like everything went wrong.
Yeah.
You know, whether by your intentions or lack thereof, like just the season was a disappointment early on. And so I just wonder if any of that would have impacted towards the end. And then Jaylen Brown obviously getting hurt. And
yeah, I just don't understand Brad's move at all. Like I just don't, because he's like, okay, I'm burnt out. So I want to do a job that could potentially be a lot harder than the coaching job. And like that, the only thing that's more difficult about coaching is the travel. But like right now, a GM job is, or the president of basketball ops job is 24/7, 365. Like he's working right now. If you're a coach, you can probably go to Hawaii right now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get that. Like I'm burnt out. So give me a job where I literally have no break. And we think of like the president of basketball ops job as just like, okay, they're building a team. Like they're like in charge of like all the community stuff that goes on within the team. They're in charge of so many projects that no one has any clue about. And like, he wants to take that on. Like that job is, to me, that job is harder to me, that job, and especially trying to do what the Celtics need to do, and that's reshape the roster with a contract with Kemba Walker that's going to be really hard to move and really hard to get value out of. And then you don't have a lot of draft assets. You don't have a lot of ways to get better. Why would you pick that job? Why is that job easier? Why is that the job that you pick when you're burnt out?
Also, a team that, right now, people are really questioning their, let's just say, culture around the team and fan culture and stuff. It's like, that's a lot
that's
that you want to take
on. That's his job now, too.
Yeah.
That's his job now, too, is to make sure that somehow gets flipped around, too. I mean, that's...
Do we want to...
I don't get... I just
why
don't
does
get
he get that the job? Why do we even get that why does he get that job?
Oh, he's obviously created enough credibility as the coach. I mean,
else gets that job like that?
What do you mean?
Like Stan Van gets that job, but he's also the coach, and then that doesn't work out.
Doc Rivers kind of had that,
but they're still coaching.
They obviously value Brad a lot, because I think that he may have said, "I kind of want to go do something else," and they said, "Well,
we want to keep you in.
We want you to stay here. We want you to stay here. We'll give you know, if Danny leaves, would you take the basketball ops job?"
Why does Utah give Danny Ainge that job?
That's speculative, right? That's not happening.
That is
right?
speculative, and it could be that somebody within the front office of Utah moves on. We don't know yet. That one's not set in stone at all.
Danny, I think you said this on Wednesdays. The owner of, they're BYU classmates or something.
There's some sort of connection.
Yeah, they're buddies.
They're Mormon buddies.
Yeah. They are.
Yes.
So Danny Ainge is Mormon?
Yeah, I went to BYU.
So just as an assumption.
A practicing Latter-day Saint?
Maybe.
Here's the number one thing that Brad Stevens needs to think about. Number one thing about
two
the culture.
Abs.
No.
Oh.
You cannot step and disrespect the logo. Don't step on it.
Oh, baby.
Don't do it. It's the rudest thing a basketball player can do. Would you guys care at all if Kevin Rick came and stepped on the Thunder logo?
What,
would you care?
What, there's somebody
the Thunder logo
would.
Doesn't have a face, though, to step on. It's also, we don't
know,
have the tradition.
Who cares? It has
that,
a face.
Number one is Boston has a long history of just being an easily agitated.
Yeah. Yeah, they're known for being ridiculous fans anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I would have been frustrated if I was a Boston fan and had Kyrie's experience, or my experience with Kyrie, I guess. And he did that, I would have been angry enough to tweet something.
You'd have been like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think that the Thunder fans would have been just as mad.
Absolutely.
If that happened. If Kevin did stomp on our logo like that when he came back.
Yeah.
I kind of want him to.
The fan base would be on fire. They'd be so mad.
Would we have thrown a water bottle at him?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Careful.
I don't know. I'm not going to act like we're totally above how Boston fans feel.
We would. You can't trust one. Here's the thing. That was one guy that did that threw the water bottle out of how many?
Who kind of looked like Peyton Pritchard.
If you got a lifetime ban from Chesapeake Energy Arena, I think that would be so easy to get around.
Does the lifetime ban?
It's
also
all events
transition there to when the name changes?
I don't know.
Does not.
Does brand it's new. Non-binding. You're a lawyer. I'm just asking for legal advice.
I don't know.
Just in case.
But I think it would be the easiest thing to get around, because I'll just be like, hey, buy a ticket in your name, give it to me, and I'll wear a hat and a mustache.
Yeah. This is the second week glasses. You mentioned this.
Well, I think it's right.
Yeah.
Was it last week? Yeah, okay.
But I think it's right. It'd be the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably so.
So just throw water balls all the time.
Just throw them around, baby.
Yeah. There's no repercussions.
No, I think you're right, though. Every fan base has the chance of one person doing something like that. Absolutely. We had the Pink Flamingo guy. What's his name?
Pink Flamingo guy?
Yeah, big old dummy head.
Yeah.
And he showed up at Katie's house. Remember that? Yeah, Putting signs in his yard.
He burned his jersey. That was awesome.
No, not awesome.
Yes,
that guy
that
sucks.
Was hilarious.
No, and if he listens to this, he will absolutely punch me in the face in public. If
probably
he sees
would.
Punch through your
That's
face.
The kind
he's
of guy
that gets toward.
He's a massive person.
Well,
also, he's definitely on pills.
Well, okay. Well, we can't just go around making accusations.
Post-game edits.
Oh my word.
Ted John's back toy figure inventory. Ted John's back toy figure inventory.
Hello, welcome to Tejan Facts of Figgery Dictory. Wednesday night, the Mavs starting lineup was the tallest in postseason history because they started Boban and Porzingis.
Yep.
It would be the second tallest. It would be tied for second tallest in regular season history as well, only behind another earlier Mavs team. That Mavs team was Hubert Davis at 6'5", Michael Finley at 6'7", Dirk at 7 foot, Chris Anstey? How do you say his name? Anstey.
This is 7 foot. Your segment, man.
Yeah, I don't know this guy, Chris Anstey. This is like a 98 team or something. And then Shad Bradley at 7'6". Those are some tall boys.
Shad Bradley's so tall.
So I didn't know he was 7'6", though. Yeah. That's insane.
Is that Boban's height? How tall
it's insane.
Is
Boban?
I don't think Boban's 7'6".
I don't know that he's that tall. Yeah.
That's Taco Fall, a 7'6".
Yeah.
Yeah, Taco Fall is.
That is crazy, but do you guys want the Mavs to keep starting that lineup?
They kind of have to, right?
Just yeah. Rick Carlisle, man, is
7'4", Boban.
Talk about a guy that just has carte blanche to like
do whatever.
Because the whole point of that, from what it felt like, was just like, hey, we've got to try something different to get yeah. them out of rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Put this weird lineup, and it worked.
It totally worked because the Clippers were going small.
Yeah, they
on them.
Yeah, they had to do something to combat the way that they were attacking the rim.
You know, isn't that interesting that a coach, instead of just when a team adjusts, you don't adjust? We're used to some coaches not adjusting. Yeah,
if OKC had Rick Carlisle, we would have won
30 championships in 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, my answer or my question to you guys, what's the ideal height for your job, your life? So it doesn't have to be what you think all like the mm-hmm. ideal man height is, but yours. Do you think you could benefit from being taller or shorter?
What job would benefit from being shorter?
Can we have
an example?
You know, that's up to you. I wanted to leave this up to you.
Jockey.
Yeah, jockey.
Gymnast.
Yep, gymnast. There we go. Thank you, Luke.
Okay.
Cave explorer.
Spelunker.
Okay.
So, a guy that's like getting shot out of a cannon.
Cannon guy.
Yeah.
It's really just circus in general.
So lots of people.
Plumber, mechanic,
yeah, a lot,
maybe.
A plumber. Oh, actually, that reminds me of a story.
Be a mechanic.
It's true.
Trust me.
Plumber that has to get under, like crawl in the crawl space.
Yep.
So
yep.
There's this guy in Bethany. Bethany, a lot of just plumbers, just dudes, big dudes mm-hmm. that like don't work for a company.
Mm-hmm.
They have one guy that they all call when they need to get in the crawl space. It's this little guy. And he's just the guy. And he makes so much money because he's the only one that's small enough. He's like trained as a plumber. And so everyone calls him.
Young guy, old guy?
Comes in. He's like in his 40s, 50s. He's just a small guy.
Okay. Y'all ever been in a crawl space?
No.
No, I will never go in there.
It is a place. Because
like my
with
home
nightmares.
Inspector like shimmied underneath my house to like go look at it.
Inspect things?
And I was just like, what if they never come out?
Yeah.
I'll just leave them there.
They're home now.
Like they just live in there.
Yeah, you what? Have to go head first.
And they put the suit on that has like the bug suit so they don't get bugs all on them.
Ugh,
mine did anyway.
God.
Looks like a space. She looked like a space woman.
So what's your ideal height, Taylor?
I would actually benefit from being a little shorter, I think. Maybe 2 inches shorter.
So apparently a Potter.
Yeah, because, well, at least the way that I do it, because I have to bend over too much, so it's kind of hard on my back. So yeah. I think I would benefit a little bit. But there, I don't know. Maybe like it's good to have the the body weight over it.
Yeah.
It does help.
What about being really small, like an elf size?
No, that would be... there's definitely too small.
Think of the intricate designs you could do because you're just right up there.
If I had like tiny little
fingers.
If
you're like a Keebler elf, you live in a tree.
It does take some like...
You don't think you could be strong and be an elf. That's horrible.
No. I mean, you could be strong for an elf, but like,
yeah,
you know, Jake could still pick you up and throw you across the room because he's a bear.
Wait, is that a danger in pottery?
If you're an elf, yeah.
that's you know, Smurfs, so you just pick them up.
I did kind of imagine like a Keebler elf.
Keebler elf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
They make cookie-sized potteries?
I guess you could specialize in tiny pottery.
Yeah.
Luke and Jay, I thought, actually could benefit from being taller.
Super,
just because it's like...
Super tall lawyer.
Yeah.
You have the jury's attention because you're so big.
Yeah.
Yeah, public, being like a in front of public,
yeah,
it only helps you to be,
because when you stand up and from, you know, from the desk, and it's just...
How tall is too tall?
I would say...
I don't think there is.
7'6"?
Seven six is too tall. Big. Yeah. When you have to get in like elevators and stuff and like small doorways and like courthouses.
It'd be very intimidating, though.
You know what, though?
I wish I was 6'10".
6'10 would be great.
This is for not my current life as much as like I would have had a shot to maybe at least play in Europe if I was 6'10".
Yeah. I mean, you'd play football for sure at 6'10".
Yeah. There's not a lot of 6'10 football players.
No. If you're 6'10 and wanted to play football...
You've been playing for the Dolphins for years now, man.
Yeah, man. My whole body would be wrecked. I'd have brain injuries. It'd be wonderful.
I mean, you could be an offensive lineman.
Sure. Calais Campbell was like 6'8", 6'9".
You'd be the sickest center in the...
Nice. I'd like to be 6'6". That's a good one.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this,
6'3". You're 6 what?
I'm 6'3". I'm a little under 6'3", but I claim 6'3".
You're 6. Andrew, you're close to 6 foot.
Yeah, you're close to it. Yeah,
I'd like to be 6'6", maybe 6'7".
Yeah,
we're the tallest. We might be the tallest podcast lineup. That's not NBA players.
So. That might be true.
Total
up
inches
up in smoke, probably taller.
Yeah, right. Yeah, NBA player podcast.
All the smoke. Yeah,
is that what it's called?
Yeah,
up in smoke. I don't know what that is. Cheech and Chong movie, maybe.
Okay. I have one more question about this. Sorry, Andrew.
Yeah, this is good. Take
but
your time.
This
man.
Is very important. When someone is like super duper tall, like we're talking 7'6",
mm-hmm.
if they got up in front of you and were amazing speakers and really intelligent,
yeah,
it would surprise you, correct?
You
would not expect them to be like skilled in other ways than just being super tall.
I don't equate tallness with dumbness.
I think you would, though. I think not that you would think they were dumb, but if they were as good a speaker as Jay is, you'd be like, wow, that person is that tall and that good at speaking?
Take John's back to a bigger and victory.
Say,
take John's back to a bigger and victory.
All right. Oh, it's too bad we don't have time for a deep dive. Let's go to the stream real quick.
You canceled my deep dive.
You can't cancel today.
I have been muted unjustly.
All right, so in the stream, we have Sam the Man. We have Bailey Sanderson from Adelaide, Australia. Lawrence Field. We have Jamie in Mexico. We have Miguel Davila from the Philippines. We've got Christos in Greece. We have Wojciech, who is in Germany, I believe. We've got Nathan Stinson in Poto.
Oh, Poto.
We have Ryan Tai in New Zealand. We have
Sweet A's.
Tyler Field in Edmond. Could be here live. Could be outside my window. Jake Hendricks in Kansas City. Crimson King in Henrietta. Let's see.
Somebody in there from Lexington, Kentucky, man.
I know.
I love Lexington.
Just jumped, yeah. Rose.
I do declare.
W. Rose in Lexington, Kentucky. Stephen Clay is in Belgium. We have Kyle Clark in Orlando, Florida.
Been to Orlando.
It's great. Been
no
there.
Big deal.
Been there, done that.
A few times.
Been there. I've been to Orlando.
Jesse Smith in Tulsa. Been there.
Been to Tulsa.
I've been there.
Falcon, Denmark.
Nope.
I've been there.
Have you really?
Yep. Been there, Denmark.
Dang, man.
Turtle.
Tortoise. Is it turtle?
It's tortoise.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. We'll be right back. After this quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. And we're back after that quick break.
Twitter questions!
Oh man, unmuted.
No. Unmuted. All right, first Twitter question. Comes from Up to Ask.
Up to Ask.
Where's the
Lotto party?
He's just getting louder.
Wow. Where's the Lotto party? We're not going to have a Lotto party. We will have a podcast following the lottery. It's also such a quick thing. It lasts like half an hour. So I don't know. We're not going to have a Lotto party.
So just to be honest also, like, this is not a moment you want to probably see us in or one another in.
Yeah. If it doesn't go well, we don't really want to be there.
Yeah, you don't want to meet. Well, I know.
So if it goes, if it went, I mean,
many of you.
Yeah, this is like a high ceiling, low floor situation. Like, it could be great.
Right.
It could be the greatest moment ever. It could be the worst moment ever. So
we'll try to figure out if we watch it together. We'll figure out like a video.
We'll do
and I'm back.
No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to.
He's acting out now, Andrew.
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't know what to do.
He is a child that needs punished.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do.
Okay. You always talk about trading for a disgruntled young star. What are the chances we see Jason Tatum one out of Boston? How many picks do you think it would take? I think it's a big jump. Boston's not trading him. I just don't see that happening anytime soon. How many picks would it take?
All of them?
Six. I mean, six.
I mean,
is
this
a lot.
Is a guy. This they're not trading him. He just scored 50 in the playoffs.
They're not. No. He's like the only reason that they could be good.
Yeah,
yeah. But okay, Jalen though, is that different?
Maybe if they figured out that they were redundant and they had an option, but you're not trading him for picks. You're trading him for we need a better piece to complement. We're going all in on Jason Tatum.
Yeah,
And so we can move Jalen for. I don't know. Insert whatever.
Bradley Beal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then maybe you would have that conversation.
Like if Beal yesterday to the media at exit interviews is like, yeah, I don't want to leave. And the Wizards are like, yeah, we're never going to trade him.
Why does Beal? Why?
So
he's just loyal, man. That's one of his things, apparently. But
he really wants to win in Washington. Like, he really, really wants that.
To be fair, does he see that that's a possibility?
I think the Wizards, I don't think they have, they're even remotely close to a championship. But I do think that you will see the Wizards be a better team. Thomas Bryant coming back and then having Gap. Like, they're going to be a better team. And if I don't know what they're going to do to actually retool or add anything to the roster, or I don't know if they have the flexibility, but having Denny come back like another season, I think they have a chance to be better. I think they could obviously get out of the playing game is my bet with the Wizards. But
yeah,
for me in Boston, I think the thing about the Celtics that's hard is it's really easy to default to like, man, they've got a lot of work on their hand and maybe they're, but dude, if they could figure out, and this is what I would do if I was Brad Stevens now in this role, and maybe him being the coach shifts his perspective on what they need to do. It's not a complete overhaul.
I don't think so either.
Like, can you move Tristan Thompson, Kemba Walker, and I don't care, man. At this point, with this squad and being Boston, I would leverage whatever picks you needed to retool this roster as is, and then go after it. Like,
yeah,
I don't know who's out there that could be got, but you're not far off.
Yeah,
yeah.
For me, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, and then everybody else is an asset to get you something else.
Yeah.
Even picks. Like, if it takes you, if somebody wants to give you their star for Kemba and a couple firsts, bye. Like, all right, cool. Because you've been stockpiling
for
picks
Kemba
forever and have just been hitting, like, you've just been swinging and missing. Now, Brad may be able to scout. He may be able to, and this is what you might get with Brad Stevens. You might get a better evaluator of talent in the NBA draft. And not digging on Danny Ainge. Obviously, he drafted both of those guys we just talked about. But he's missed on a lot of those mid to late lotto guys. So if Brad can hit on those, maybe that's it. But for me, in a city like Boston, your draft capital is not as high of a priority as, especially in this current season, as utilizing them to create a roster that makes sense. Their roster had tremendous flaws this last year. And they had so many errors, man. You can't let Gordon Hayward. If it's true that Gordon Hayward was on the table for Miles Turner and Doug McDermott,
that's an error.
That's a horrible decision by Danny Ainge to miss that.
Yeah.
To get nothing back, maybe Evan Fournier, like.
Yeah, that's
a horrible.
That
loss.
Was the choice. It was either those two or Fournier.
Yeah, it's Miles Turner and Doug McDermott immediately made this team better.
Yeah, no question.
So it's like it doesn't take. It's hard, like, because we have such a sour taste because they were the 8 seed. They got beat in a gentleman sweep. Didn't look very good. But they're one or two moves away from being right back in it.
I agree.
So
we're not trading for Tatum.
So hey, who's going to trade for Kemba? We don't have to actually talk about it, but it's like...
Well, like I said, know. Like...
If that's...
Somebody. I mean,
Oklahoma
somebody
City,
will.
Like, I don't think OKC would do it, but I'm saying, like... If you were able to stop thinking that your draft picks were that significant for you,
right?
Trade a pick in Kemba and retool your roster.
Yeah.
But you have to get an asset back. I think you have to get a player that can actually contribute. Like the Horford thing actually makes sense because I think he would be an upgrade for who they were for the next year.
It would make sense for them. I don't know that if I'm the Thunder, I would want to touch that.
But you know what I'm saying? Like are there other teams out there that are trying that have the Detroit? Like I couldn't put like Jeremy Grant, give him a first. Jeremy Grant, whatever else it takes to make the cap work and move.
Boston would jump at that. You'd probably have to do two firsts.
But I mean, am I crazy to think like why not?
I mean, I would. No, you're not crazy.
Hey guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @TheNickOrman, who wants to know how many selections will the Thunder make in the draft this year?
So they have 5 picks.
Whoa.
And it'll be their own pick in the lottery. It'll either be the Rockets or the Miami pick.
Which is like a 47 to 48% chance that they could get the Rockets pick.
That's, hey, would you take a coin flip?
I mean, isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
And then they have 35, 36, and 55.
Hey, it's 55.
So, 55. Yeah, they've got... And like 35 and 36, those are valuable.
Yeah.
And so the question is, will they select all of those? I don't think so. My guess is there will be some kind of consolidation at some point within here. Like 35 and 36 to trade up to 32 or to 29 or something like that.
I can't believe that Sam couldn't get the Warriors to lessen the protection on that when they traded for Oubre. Like 1 to 15, 1 to 12, like...
Mm. Yeah. I mean, in hindsight, like that's like Oubre's just not that good.
Yeah.
And I think both teams knew that, you know, at the time that like, yeah, we can't give up. We can't do a lottery protected pick for him because he doesn't make that big of an impact.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
but it's like for me, I'm like, there's three. What were they? What, the Warriors wound up drafting 17 or something like that, or 16. It's like, gosh, it's so close to having two.
Yeah.
Mid-teens, you know. Anyway, I mean, not that. That couldn't, for me, I think more of that is like tools to move up, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well,
the
16th
and the 18th or whatever.
Well, if we get the 1 and 5, Jay, where are you going to move up to?
True.
Yeah. Well, we just don't know. They could acquire, I mean, they acquired several picks last year and then traded some to move up to get Poku. Like, we don't know what they want. We don't know what the evaluations are on any of these guys. From the Thunder's perspective, but they have the tools to move up, to move out completely, to, you know, trade these picks for future picks. I mean, but my guess is that they'll probably have
3,
max 4, but yeah, probably into like 3 makes more sense. But who knows? It could be 5.
You don't want to bring in 5 guys to camp though, probably.
Unless it's the food. 5 guys. Delicious food.
Ooh, too expensive.
I think that
I'll never do it.
It is kind of expensive.
It's hard. Number one is if you want to be able to look like you're going somewhere, yet also be very bad, playing 5 rookies would be the way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think that we'll see.
We have a lot of draft picks every year now. So it's like, okay, are we just going to start cycling? 3 to 5 guys.
Yeah, well, and if three of them are second round picks, though, like the odds that the 35, 36, and 55 are going to even play in the NBA for more than 3 years is like very low.
You can have draft and stash. I think. I mean, also remember, like the Blue are going to be back.
Right. Like, they'll be able to throw those guys.
They'll be playing at the whatever. I don't know where they play now since it became like a movie theater or a movie production site. But it's one of those things where like they're going to have the full complement of all these other places to store these guys. Because you're not even thinking about the fact that they have Vit Krejci that is supposedly going to be somewhat in the organization and has been around for the last year rehabbing.
Yep.
We don't know what's going to happen.
May or may not have Micić, right? Like there's a lot of those. It's hard as this is one of those things where we start overthinking it. It's like, Sam obviously has a plan. Like he's not like, we just want a roster with 45 draft picks.
Right. I mean, yeah. These picks will be traded. Like there will be traded picks. Most likely in this draft, some of these will be traded. But going forward, I mean, you can't select all of them.
Even that 55 could be traded for like cash considerations, right? Like
if they want some cash, they could probably get some cash.
Who doesn't love cash?
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. Comes from at Alaskan Strummer, who wants to know, what ads have you historically hated? For at Alaskan Strummer, it's Red Bull and AT&T.
I've always enjoyed Red Bull ads. Red Bull gives you wings.
They're kind of like a weird cartoonish kind of thing.
Yeah, they're nice. They're creative. You know, something different from all the other ads. I've always disliked
the insurance company
ads. I hate
like
Liberty
Geico,
Mutual.
Progressive.
What about this one? You got the brawn. I got the brain. Let's make lots of and then it fades out.
I don't know.
I've never heard of that. Are you kidding me?
Not kidding.
Hold on. You guys might be... That commercial is plastered on everything.
When?
What's it for?
On TV.
Like
for
right
Progressive.
Now?
I think Progressive Insurance. Mm. Yes. Okay. Right now.
All right. I don't think I've ever heard
I'll have
it.
To be thinking about
You're
it.
You're kidding
I did
me.
At least catch the tune a little bit. And so maybe it's in my mind.
A guy driving in a car down in the desert.
Yeah.
And his like little Cadillac statuette woman is singing to him.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I hate the Liberty Mutual commercials.
Liberty.
Yeah, and the Limu Emu. Hate it.
I don't know.
Limu.
It's the emu that it doesn't make any sense. They just don't explain what the product is. They just have horrible commercials.
You've connected it, though. They've done their job.
You're not wrong.
But I hate it. Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, you know what I think they should do? And what they should just have Shaq on every commercial.
No, they should. I'm so tired of seeing Shaq.
I kind of am, too.
I need more Shaq.
Love Shaq.
Every commercial. Yeah,
he's just so bad.
That's the thing. It's like Shaq isn't good enough to be on everything.
Yeah.
Well, his takes are just so archaic.
Yeah.
Like KOC said it in his mock draft. Yeah. He's like, somebody said it to Kevin O'Connor. He's like, Evan Mobley is going to be a guy that Shaq absolutely hates.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Because he doesn't play traditional. Like, he's just not going to back somebody down. And like nobody does that except for Embiid occasionally.
Right.
Yeah. Who does it? Literally no one else
Jokic
does that.
Jokic does it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to put people in the rim.
No. But that's not... Anyway, I can't get into the...
Yeah, we don't have to go there. Thank you, Shaq. That's okay.
Just too much Shaq.
I need more Shaq.
No.
I need all Shaq commercials.
No.
I do. I would like... All right. Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Chad Imus33, who wants to know, what is a food or drink that most people like you absolutely detest? I got it. Most people like it, you hate it.
Go ahead.
I don't know. What do you like? I hate.
I don't hate it, but I'm not as like, and this is more of an embarrassment. I'm not like a...
This is a safe place.
I'm not like a pure sushi guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
like
what?
Like sashimi.
I'm not. Like,
nigiri.
I just don't do a ton of raw anything, let alone raw fish. I just don't do it. And I feel... Honestly, like, it's not something I hate, but it's just something I'm like, this is probably where Jay needs to culture up a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You need to come with me to the knockout.
I know.
I can teach you some stuff. It's so good. I'll teach you.
You're making me uncomfortable.
I'll teach you. You'll become my sushi Padawan.
Hey, come over to my house. I'll be laying on a table. I'll have sushi ready on me.
Some sushi.
I'll teach you some stuff, baby.
I don't like mushrooms.
Oh, I love mushrooms.
Really?
Yeah.
But there's so sometimes you can only get umami from adding mushrooms.
That's where the umami flavor comes from.
Yep.
Packed full.
I think they're kind of flavorless mushrooms.
They soak. They can soak up the flavors of what they're cooking.
Kind of a dull flavor on their own.
That's kind of crazy. I think you're getting bad mushrooms.
I don't know.
I think you're getting bad mushrooms.
No, I understand. There's different brands or styles of mushrooms. You get a little bit more flavor. But just the generic mushroom, like, it's all about what you cook it with.
Okay, like a beef stroganoff.
Yeah, but that's because of everything else that goes into it.
Oh, it doesn't taste like that without the mushrooms, baby.
Okay.
I'm not a salmon guy. People love salmon.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm trying to do it. I'm kind of like you, Jay. Like, I'm trying to, like, you know, culture up a little bit. A lot of people like salmon. It's it's very, like, I feel regal, you know, kind of royal if I like salmon. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to do it. Sprouts has some good marinated salmon, so I'm trying it grilled, you know, pan fried.
Some of that Weber Nation.
Oh, yeah, Weber Nation.
Luke, what about you?
I like all food, and I will eat it all.
There's nothing you don't like?
True. I mean, really, no. I'll eat it all. I like it all.
That's just not true.
I do.
There's
really
gotta
like
be something.
I don't like it all. I'm hungry. I eat. Okay. Hey guys, let's move on to the next Twitter question. It comes from @DortPoy, who wants to know, how did you guys feel if KD and Harden win it all with the Nets?
Poor. Terrible. And it has nothing to do with those guys. I just don't want the Nets to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I am pulling in the East. I literally am pulling for every other team.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I'd be excited if the Hawks won, which would be shocking and would make... Yeah. There's a lot of crow eating.
Yeah,
a lot of crow eating on this podcast.
I'll eat no crow.
You will eat all of
them. You'll eat all the crow.
Apparently. That's what Alex said. I'm not a crow guy either.
Yeah.
I don't like crow.
Not a fan.
Don't like crow traditionally and don't like crow.
But you look at every other team in the Eastern Conference, I'd be excited about winning. The Sixers...
Yeah, if the Sixers finally broke through, like, that would be cool.
Part of it is the way they built their team. And then you go to the Western Conference, like, Suns. I'd be excited about the Suns. I'd be okay with the Jazz. I don't love the Jazz.
Yeah, I don't know that I would be okay with the Jazz.
No, I'm not with the Jazz.
But Denver, obviously,
would be great. Suns would be great. Dallas would be great.
Clippers
would be great. It's going to happen, so we don't really have a choice.
So,
shouldn't we be rooting for the Bucks as OKC fans?
Definitely. That's the team.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they're also kind of a smaller market. Like,
well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It like we should root for what we wanted, right?
And also, it would be great to see the Bucks beat the Nets.
It would be awesome.
This is America's series, right?
Yeah.
And it's America versus the Nets.
Right. Whose greatest player is from Greece. But, you know.
You know what I mean.
It represents, the spirit of who we are as a people.
Yeah.
Their coach's name is Bud.
That's true.
It's just your bud. Yeah,
it's just your bud, man.
Yeah, that's the most intriguing series.
Mike Budenholzer. In that.
Yeah, you call him Coach Bud.
Yeah, Coach Bud.
Yeah.
Although Steve's a pretty American name, too, but he's from Canada.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, that's so true. Okay, let me ask you, though.
Mm-hmm.
Can you... I want to believe that the Bucks can do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can. Okay. Certainly they can.
Okay, good. I just
think the Bucks have the opportunity. I think they have the guys to defend all three of them at one time. I think that's what is so different from...
And they have depth.
Sixers can do it, too. And the Sixers will give them problems. If it all depends... For me, as Philly, it all depends on Embiid's health. If Embiid can't be 100%, I don't even know if they beat the Hawks.
There's just something I don't trust about Simmons, too. It's like, even if Embiid is healthy, they're really good, but God, they need Simmons to be good every game.
And he was good against Washington, so that's encouraging.
Yeah.
They just, for me, it's the Sixers can just defend. Like, the Sixers can defend.
He made some free throws in the last game.
Yeah, but it was like, he still ended the series like 25 to 30% from the free throw line.
Yeah, I mean, they started going to the hack of Simmons early in game five, which I don't really love.
That was I forgot that Brooks did that so much. And I was like, you're still doing
but
that,
he did
huh?
this, but he does the thing where he wants to do it, but then once he went 3 out of 4, he like doesn't commit to it.
And then
like,
there's 2 minutes doing, left man? Still. Yeah,
that
exactly.
really familiar, actually.
Yes.
I feel like I experienced he's still doing the same thing.
Yes, where he... I don't understand the strategy behind it.
I just think Ben against the Nets, Simmons could get to the rim.
Yeah.
Absolute ease. Which is what Giannis is also going like.
Oh,
Giannis is going to average
Giannis
like 35
Andrew
in this
series.
So I think, and I don't know what it means that DiVincenzo, like, I don't know how big of a loss that is for the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean,
it feels like something, but
it's something.
It's a loss, but it's not losing one of their main three guys.
If Forbes plays like he did against the
Brent Forbes can just hit threes. They're going to attack Brent Forbes, though, is the problem.
Yeah.
They're going to try to get him on a switch.
Which means they'll put Tucker in pretty quick, and Tucker hasn't been really much of anything.
And that's a good thing about the Bucks this season is they're so much deeper with guys that they can actually trust.
Yeah.
You know, like guys that actually finish it.
Yeah,
like
Bobby Portis is still somebody that's
Portis
playing
is really
at
good
a pretty high
in the
level.
First round, yeah.
You know, Connington.
Pat Connington, yeah. He's fine.
I like the Bucks. This is the Bucks' best shot that they had. The hard part is they're just running into the best Eastern Conference top.
Probably the best offense. I mean, the best offense we've ever seen.
Yes.
Ever.
Can the Nets stay healthy? I don't know.
Hopefully not. But we don't know.
The three of them are like combining to score 100 points a night. It's so insane what they're doing.
When does it start? Yeah. Tomorrow?
Game one is tomorrow. Yep.
Oh, wow. Hey, tonight's the big one, though, boys, when the Clippers
annihilate the Mavs.
Yeah, come tie it back up.
Yeah, it's just going to be rough for the Mavs.
Poor Mavs. Sorry, Mavs.
Our hearts go out to Dallas.
I hope everyone knows what you're doing
here.
They do.
Everybody knows.
Okay. That's all I'll say. I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page.
All right.
Paul George, Finals MVP.
You're confusing me.
Mavs fan for now, right? Isn't that what I always think that's a like cuss word kind of thing.
Yeah, mother.
Yeah, that's what I think every time I read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but it's not.
The hashtag Mavs fan for life.
Ah.
Oh.
Like everybody has that. If you're a Mavs fan, like that's your Twitter profile. It's like Andrew Mavs fan for life. Like that's what it is. That's what that is. So, but we put the end there because we're just fans for now.
For now.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Monday Night Football. That's what it makes me think of.
Yeah, also that. Yeah.
That's the joke that we've been saying for 3 weeks now.
It's good.
Explained out.
Okay.
I heard the jokes work the best
when you
have to explain
it. I explain it, it makes it so much funnier.
Well, I had to get Too Good to Tank explained to me, and I think we created it.
TGTT.
I don't know if we created it or did listeners or did Twitter people say
it was absolutely every single week last year we got Twitter questions. Is this team going to be too good to tank when Chris leaves?
I need to clarify. I knew what Too Good to Tank was, but the hashtag TGTT, I was like, what is that?
Yeah. I have a question for you guys. I was thinking about this yesterday. In hindsight, seeing how the West is playing out.
Mm-hmm.
This is
had the Thunder just kept the team they had last season and gone into this season, knowing that the Lakers are going to just disintegrate in front of us.
Okay, knowing everything we know right now.
It's not even that for me.
Hindsight.
My deal is like some of the trades they made. So Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
Like adding either Danny Green to that roster.
Or just Al Horford. Yeah.
And George Hill.
Yeah.
So to have a team of Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous, Alexander, Lou Dort, George Hill, Al Horford.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask
Gallo.
Kenny.
If you kept Gallo.
Yeah.
Although Gallo's, I don't know, he's very to me.
No, he's been.
They could have brought him back.
He's been good in spots, though.
They could have brought him back.
That hair, though.
Here's my question to you, though, Andrew.
Yeah.
Question asker.
Yeah, they would have been a top four seed.
I know.
But do you believe that the Suns can actually win the championship?
Absolutely.
This year? Do you actually believe it?
No,
can
I
you
don't
really
know.
See it?
I think the champion will come out of the East.
Yeah. I just can't see them beating who comes
I
out
think
of the East.
They can definitely get to the finals, though.
Dude,
I
don't know, man.
At this point, yes.
Yeah. They could beat Denver. I would favor them over Denver.
It's 100% Chris Paul's health to me. It's
a big deal. It's a really big deal.
But for me, it's like looking at Devin Booker, like he has a chance to be the best player on the floor all the way until maybe the Eastern Conference, right? Or
yes.
If they, you know, play the Clippers because they have
Jokic is better.
Yeah.
But
I just like, is campaign getting
he'll have a chance to
guys,
play better.
Man, I always think, but
yeah,
Miles Bridges,
is campaign getting 21 points against the Nets in the finals?
Somebody did actually ask the question about campaign. Like, I can't remember what it was, but somebody did ask that question. I mean, he's been in the league for like 8 years.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It still so feels like
it makes sense that this would be the time where he would figure out what he is and who he could be. But, man, it was so far off from that when he was in Oklahoma City.
He was hurt, though. I mean, that was part of the that was the big problem.
They even traded him to the Bulls, and then he tore his knee again.
Well, and he even talked, I mean, he's talked a lot about this, is that like his attitude, the attitude shift that he had to have didn't take place until he was like humbled.
Yeah.
You know, he felt very secure in his NBA career whenever he was in Oklahoma City and didn't feel like he had to work for it.
That's great. That's a good perspective.
Yeah, so, why did he think that?
I don't know, but he took
being the lottery pick. Like, there's a lot of reasons that these guys
can't. It's probably like that moment where he's worked so hard, and then he finally broke through. He's in the NBA. He thought, okay, I have arrived. You know, I've got this 4-year contract. Things are going to be great for me. I'm on this really good team. They develop players really well. It's just going to be handed to me kind of thing.
Oh, he did dance with Russ every night, too.
Russ has danced with me. I must be as good as him.
It's not unrelated.
It's related.
I still wouldn't be happy with the... I mean, if we did keep the same team, I guess I would still struggle with knowing, like, where is this going?
Though? Yeah, well...
Yeah, but for 1 year, you're going to have a shot to be... At least a chance to go to Western Conference Finals.
I just wouldn't... but...
You would. They would have a chance.
Because the problem is we'd have... Knowing if you had told me like you could go and you're going to get, let's say, even better than that, but you're going to go against like either the Warriors or this Grizzlies team or the Lakers, I'd say, no, let's not do, no, don't do it. If we know so much now, so okay, well, because all of these have fallen away, like the way that it like has. If we back then, there's just no way that you could talk us into doing it because you'd be like, no way. What are we doing? Are we crazy? Like, this is a horrible idea. Now,
you know. And that's the question.
I just think, like, now,
Shea. Would I maybe?
Shea's development from last year to this year, alongside Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, man. They would have been really good.
Mm-hmm. They would have been good.
Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like, there's a clear expiration date on this team, and it really gets wonky with Shea 5 years into it. And then you're starting the rebuild.
Yeah, and it's not like, they have Ayton and Booker. Like, they still have this future post-Chris Paul.
Yeah, they've gotten the number one pick.
Yeah. And, like, we would have, you know, Steven Adams or Horford.
Yeah.
And Shea. I mean, we'd have Shea and Dort, but
I'm not trying to question the decision.
Way.
I just think that the opportunity in the West, like
right now is so much different.
It's way different.
You just can't predict that, though.
Yeah. Man. Because the other thing is, like, do we want 1 year of possibly getting to the Western Conference Finals or, like, sustained success that we're looking to get with all the lottery picks?
But you look at, like...
I wouldn't do it today.
What's so hard to... You just can't predict some of this. Like, Jamal Murray's injury makes it to where Denver obviously came back down to the level of what Oklahoma City would have been coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the Clippers, the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Clippers are this weird... I don't know what they are. But you look at the Lakers, they're obviously their injuries.
They're a champion is what they are.
But their injuries made it to where they came back down to the level, you know? Like,
They're just
unpredictable things. And so
I try to say goodbye.
Luke left.
He gone.
Peace. All right. Any other thoughts on the playoffs before we move on?
Nope.
Predictions, second round predictions, Philly, Atlanta. Who you guys got?
Philly.
God.
Although Atlanta's been a lot of fun.
I mean, if Embiid is actually healthy and can play like Embiid, then it's the Sixers.
Yeah.
It's, I will say this, like, we've been kind of more on the critical side of the way Atlanta had built this roster, but they built a pretty good roster around Trey.
Yeah, like, they're pretty good.
DeAndre Hunter, I think Capella has been fantastic.
Yeah, Capella's good.
I mean, obviously John Collins is going to be the kind of wild card coming into this offseason, but
right.
I was impressed. I was very impressed with the Hawks. I actually thought the Knicks would win that series. But
DeAndre Hunter turning out to be actually like a really good player is so good for them it's such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you just can't have Trey and then rely on veterans the rest of his career. Like, you can't do that his whole career.
Exactly.
And I think the question mark is going to be with that team is what's their potential ceiling in the future. And that's where, like, the mm-hmm. criticism has come from. If they could have added maybe one of these five guys, like, do they move their ceiling from you know, Eastern Conference final contender with regularity to, hey, this team could actually win a championship.
Yeah, they could go to the finals kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the question mark. But having the team they have, like with Bogdanovich and
they're fun.
Yeah, they are fun. Yeah. They can play, you know, really multiple ways.
Mm-hmm. They've got like everyone that's on the court besides Capella can pass, can move the ball, can put the ball on the deck a little bit. Yep. Like they've got a solid team.
Yeah, they're solid.
Shot makers. I wonder, it's shocking to me. I didn't watch it like with this kind of lens, but like how were the Knicks not able to punish Trae Young?
The Knicks were so bad.
They're terrible.
So bad. Randall was horrible.
Basically, like everything you thought about every single player at the beginning of the season before the Knicks played a
it's
game
true.
is what came to fruition
yep.
in the playoffs for them. It's like, yeah, Randall's okay. He's fine. You know, Alec Burks, he's just going to float around the league for forever. Derrick Rose is, yeah, like whatever Derrick Rose is, he's not going to carry you anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, like every single guy turned out to be exactly what we thought they were.
That's so true. And it sucks because I don't actually think Julius Randle is as bad as he was in that series.
I also don't think he was as good as he was in the regular season.
No, right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, he was so bad in that series. It was like, this has to be ahead. And this is completely mental.
Absolutely, because he was clearly frustrated. Like,
well, and the Knicks don't have the defenders that Philly has.
Yeah.
Like, Philly can throw somebody at Trey.
Oh,
the entire game.
Yeah.
Like, you can throw Tybalt on him for 20 minutes.
And then put Danny Green on it, who's, like, not the defender he was, but
he's
better than anything the Knicks have.
Yeah.
So I just wonder what that looks like.
You probably
like.
Wouldn't put Ben Simmons on him with regularity, but you could.
You could.
You definitely could.
You could.
You definitely could.
And they have incredible rim protection if Embiid's there, too.
Right.
They're a problem for the Nets or for the Hawks.
Yeah.
What's your prediction for Milwaukee-Brooklyn?
I think the Nets will win. I think it'll be close. I don't think six or seven, probably.
You know how we were talking about the Bucks in that first round series, where it's like, okay, they were serious. There's like something different this year.
Yeah,
this is the series where we really get to see it. Like,
yeah,
like okay, definitely. How serious is this? How real is this
for both teams? Really?
Yeah,
because I mean, the Nets haven't been challenged at all yet.
Oh god,
we don't know what they look like under pressure.
Yeah,
so I'm interested to see both. And the good thing about if you're rooting for Milwaukee like I am, they've been through it. Like they've been through the failures and they've gone through it as a group with the same coaching staff. They've made changes. I don't know that they're even afraid anymore. You know what I mean?
And here's like the
they're
thing,
not afraid of that failure anymore.
With Milwaukee too, their top three players are also their best defenders against the Nets' top three players.
Yeah, yeah. And
they match up like
they play both sides of the ball.
Yeah,
which is good.
Which the Nets, they do not have that advantage. They have more offense, but it'll be really interesting to see like one is gonna.
You could easily see these games ending in the 130s, right?
Yeah.
If they're in the 130s, the Nets are gonna win in five.
That's what I was thinking. I struggle to see how the Bucks win those. I just think that. They've got to keep the Nets to like 110.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I think there's a chance that the Bucks are going to score.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope
with a lot of
I just don't think they can keep up.
If it goes into a scoring battle.
Yeah, if it becomes that, if you're playing in the 130s, 140s, like that's the Nets series. That's how they're going to win the title. Is that they're going to score 135 points a game.
Dude, they've got to be defense and then kind of trying to beat the Nets up on the other end, you know, like playing tough, like playing hard.
Yeah, they got to average like five dunks a game or something.
Yeah,
like
they got to use, which is good that Brook Lopez, they're actually using him closer to the rim a little bit what more
is,
this postseason.
What is Brook Lopez in the series? That's one of the questions. Like, are they going to be able to keep him on the floor?
They'll go to him in the post a lot. I mean, that's what they've been doing.
He's going to get some open threes in this series, too. He will get a lot of shots.
I think he's not even shooting threes. I think he'll eat up whoever is at center for them.
Yeah.
For the Nets.
He was still taking some corners.
Jordan. Threes, who's playing their center position? I didn't even really see minutes when DeAndre Jordan
play.
On the
they'll play Griffin.
Claxton will play there. Griffin will play there.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Brooke is going to slaughter Blake Griffin.
Dude, I bet you DeAndre will get some minutes against him just because he is their biggest big guy.
That'll be that's for me. I mean, that's not this is not revolutionary thinking, but I absolutely think that that's the best series of the next round, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for like, sure.
So if you're ranking them, I think you go that one. I think that probably the Denver Phoenix.
That's going to be fun.
Whichever one from the Western Conference.
The Utah Clippers is going to be really interesting.
They're all four pretty good. I think the Hawks one obviously is the lamest one, but it could be a good series.
It could. Definitely. Second round's going to be fun.
Playoffs have been great so far, and it is, and having fans back in the arena is unbelievable.
It completely, even on TV, it changes the whole feel.
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all ramped. All these people were like, we've been sitting inside for a year.
They're just freaking out.
Throwing bottles of popcorn and running on the court.
Bottles of popcorn.
All right. Everybody go to theathletic.com/downtodunk and get The Athletic for $3.99 a month. Enjoy the playoffs.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.